And turn, if you would, now to Ephesians chapter 1. Our text this morning is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things upon the earth, in Him also. And the text goes on. We're concentrating on these two verses this morning after having looked at the first few verses in Ephesians chapter 1, relating to us the Trinitarian view of the Apostle Paul regarding salvation. And now, the Apostle is telling us that the end of this salvation and the end of the work of God has to do with summing up all things in Jesus Christ. You know, it's quite interesting to me that in our world today, peace and unity are sought in many different ways and through many different avenues. Like yourselves, I watched the opening of the Olympic Games, and I was quite astounded by some of what took place. My wife refused to watch some of those opening exercises in the Olympic Games because she felt that they smacked too much of pagan religion. And I have to admit that those opening parts of the Olympics did smack of pagan religion. And, interestingly enough, the fellow who was in charge of all of those activities stood up and said that he hoped that the Olympics in Atlanta in 1996, these Centennial Olympics, would be a step toward the peace and unity needed in our world. So it is. Athletics, education, music, science, the United Nations, all of these activities and institutions are thought by many to be steps toward unity and peace in our world. Yet the Bible clearly tells us that Jesus Christ is our peace. And all things in the end are to be summed up in Him. And this is what our text is about this morning. I want us to look at verse 10, first of all, and then go back to look at verse 9. In verse 10, the Apostle Paul talks about an administration suitable to the fullness of times. That's the New American Standard Version. The word administration might be translated dispensation or economy. We are in the dispensation of Christ, the time period relating to Jesus Christ and the grace of God. And God is the administrator, if you will, of this period of time, as He is the administrator of all time. And God is filling up time with the events suitable for His plans and purposes. I think this is the essence of what Paul is talking about here in verse 10 when he speaks of an administration suitable to the fullness of times. In Galatians chapter 4, and in verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law." We have a similar thing in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul is saying in Galatians that the time before Christ was filled up with all the events necessary in preparation for Jesus Christ to come. Now, since He has come and performed His significant work, God is still the administrator of time. He is working out His plans and purposes in this present time period. And He is filling up the times with all the events necessary preceding the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that God Himself is the administrator. It's a phenomenal thing. I really think it is. I've heard it said more than once, well, God's interested in the big things and He leaves the little things to people like us. I think God is in the midst of the big things as well as the little things, because Jesus said that the very hairs on our head are numbered. For some of us, that's fewer than others. That even a sparrow cannot fall without our Heavenly Father. Those are a couple of the little things. But the big things concerning nations and governments are also in the hands of Almighty God. The book of Daniel tells us that God causes kings to rise and fall. And it wasn't that many years ago that we saw the crumbling of an empire, the Soviet Union. How did that come about? It was by the hand of God, dear friends. Over 200 years ago, on this continent, a nation was formed. And those who worked for the establishment of this nation were very conscious of the hand of God in the midst of their work. And they considered the formation of this nation to be in the providence of God. And they spoke of providence with a capital P as the hand of God. God is presently working to fill up all of the time remaining in this world with the specific events necessary to bring about the fullness of the times. And we're going to look more specifically at how He does this next time when we look at verse 11. We also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. But for now, look at verse 10 again. There is an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ. In other words, everything is to lead to Jesus Christ. Everything, every event, every created being is to point to Jesus Christ. I don't know how this strikes you, but I'm rather overwhelmed by that thought. We can think of the rain which is presently falling around us, that it is to point to Jesus Christ, and it does point to the grace of God. And the Bible speaks of how the rain and the water that we are privileged to drink portrays and pictures for us the Spirit of God, of which we are to drink deeply. Jesus Christ is portrayed as the door leading to life. And every time you open the door into your house, you ought to be reminded of Jesus Christ. When you take your dinner today and butter that bread, you ought to be reminded of the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Everything is to be summed up in Him. And that word which is translated in our text today, summed up, actually means that if we take the sum of everything as in arithmetic and add it up, we find Jesus Christ. It's quite interesting that this should be the case. This is in part why the psalmist says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth His handiwork." The glories of our God are seen, and as we look into that dark sky and contemplate the infinite greatness of the heavens, our minds ought to jump to the infinite greatness of God and of the instrumentality of creation through Jesus Christ. One of my brothers years ago gave a book to my mother called Cosmos, and many of you are familiar with that book. The astronomer Carl Sagan is the author. And, of course, he had a TV series in which he went through the process of evolution and really, I think, popularized evolution to a great extent in our culture through that book and through that TV series. I remember my brother saying, as he looked through that book, you know, when you contemplate the cosmos and the vastness of the universe, it really makes me feel quite small. And that ought to be the case. We contemplate ourselves in a much larger way than we ought to. We think more highly of ourselves more often than not. More highly than we ought to. We are creatures, finite, small in comparison to the greatness of God. And everything is being summed up in Jesus Christ. I'm saying in this second point that for better or worse, God fills time with events and people which inevitably point to Jesus Christ. You know, one of the first questions that arises when we talk about the power of God is the question of evil. And we wonder why it is that there is evil in this world. Our text tells us that everything is to point to Jesus Christ. And the justice of God is highlighted in the condemnation of evil. And everyone will stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ one day. And evil will be seen for what it is. And isn't it also true that because of the presence of evil in the world, the mercy and the grace of God is highlighted? Because as God, through Jesus Christ, draws us out of the pit of despair, by way of comparison, we understand not only that despair, but we understand the mercy of God. And so even the evil in the world has a good purpose. The good God, as I have said before, has a good reason for the presence of evil in the world. Inevitably, everything, every event points back to Jesus Christ. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of time, that is the summing up of all things in Christ. And I go on to say in this third point that God includes every heavenly and earthly happening and creature in His schedule of events. God includes every heavenly and earthly happening and creature in His schedule of events. Do we understand that that's the case? This is the implication of the words in at the end of verse 10, in the heavens and things upon the earth. Because of sin coming into the world, There has been a separation, as it were, between heaven and earth. Jesus Christ is effecting a reconciliation. And we are to experience, dear friends, in Christ, some of heaven on earth as we experience the forgiveness of our sins and as we come together with God's people to worship Him. We are to experience a little bit of heaven on earth. We really are. I wish that we would come with greater anticipation of this sort of thing. Because were that the case, I really do believe that we would experience a greater degree of that heavenly bliss as we come together. James says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. God does use means. And part of the means He uses is God's people gathering together. And we ought to experience a little bit of heaven. It's also quite interesting that things in heaven and things on earth are mentioned as a comprehensive term, embracing all that exists within creation. That means angels that are submissive to the will of God, and that means angels that are disobedient to the will of God. That's included. And the angels which have been disobedient to their calling to be servants of God, to serve people like us who are recipients of salvation, those angels who have refused that position of service are judged by God. Because they refuse to serve who ultimately? Jesus Christ. You see, everything points back to Him. And those elect angels who graciously serve Jesus Christ and are our servants in Him assist people like us in our work before Jesus Christ. Everything points back to Him. And as we've already mentioned, those who in this world are separated from Jesus Christ and refuse to properly acknowledge Him as Lord will be judged by none other than Jesus Christ. And their view of heaven from perdition will indicate to them that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. And the saints in heaven who are gathered around the throne of God, giving worship to Him, will also have a view of perdition. And that view of that awful judgment will enhance their understanding of God's mercy in Jesus Christ and will enhance their praise before God. The summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things upon earth. Let's go back to verse 9 now. The Apostle Paul says He made known to us the mystery of His will. That is, God made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him. That's either in Christ or in Himself. He made known to us the mystery of His will. Here's what I think the interpretation of this is. And I give it to you in Point 4 in the outline. God walks us through His plan for us. He makes known to us the mystery of His will in Christ. God walks us through His plan for us. I want you to think about this, folks. I really do want you to think about this. He made known to us the mystery of His will. You know what a mystery is? A mystery is something which in the past has been veiled, but now is revealed. In the Old Testament, the extent of the gospel was a mystery, and it was unveiled in the New Testament. It was revealed. And the death and resurrection came in the New Testament in all of its glory, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was a mystery which was revealed. But now, as we are the people of God, walking in this world, God is making known to us the mystery of His will. You know, I'd like to know a lot of things that are going to transpire in the future. I'd like to know some of the events that are going to transpire in the future, which are going to fill up time and bring us to the fullness of the times when Jesus Christ will come in glory. I'm not privileged to see into the future, but I do know this, that God is slowly in my life and slowly in your life, making known to you and making known to me the mystery of His will by literally walking us through His plans and purposes. In my life, I think of two or three highlights. I think about being in the providence of God, being sent by the United States Army to Korea, where I met a particular Army chaplain by whom I was confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And through his ministry, for the first time, understood the gospel of Christ. God was making known to me the mystery of His will. I think of leaving Korea and coming back to the United States and having in my hand a letter of acceptance to seminary. And I remember my parents asking me, "Well, you're accepted to seminary. How are you going to get there?" I said, "I don't have the vaguest notion," because I was still in the Army. And I remember God making known to me His will through the instrumentality of a regulation passed in the Pentagon which allowed me to go to seminary. And I remember quite well meeting a certain young lady at this particular seminary. And we have joked quite often about this. Why did you go to this seminary? Well, the big reason was to meet my wife. That was one of the big reasons. You know, I see this text. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Himself. We have in this auditorium this morning a man who went through a period of depression and now says, rightfully, that the joy of God fills his heart. And I say to you, God has made known to you the mystery of His will in His kind intentions in walking you through this life. Isn't that the case with you? And couldn't you point to various times and circumstances in which you knew the hand of God? It's a wonderful thing. And so I say, for better or for worse, God makes known to us all the administrative details of His program for us, in which He designs everything to glorify Jesus Christ. And I say to you, dear friends, that as you keep this in mind, it ought to give you great confidence in where you are in the hand of God. And it ought to give you great confidence in the fact that if you are in the hand of God, which you are, and if everything is to be summed up in Jesus Christ, where is your life headed? Your life is headed in the direction of glorifying this same Jesus. That, dear friends, is the truth of God. Let's pray together. Father, very feeble I am in properly unfolding this particular text. I pray, Father, that You'd be pleased to unfold it further as we contemplate its fullness. I thank You, Lord, that although we are finite creatures, small, yes, very small in comparison to Your might and power and glory, yet we are in Your hands. And I thank You, Father, that You are working out Your plans and purposes and walking us through this life in accordance with those plans and purposes. And I thank You, Father, that we might have great comfort in knowing that that is the case. Fill our hearts, O God, with a deeper appreciation of Your greatness, and at the same time of Your care. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.